Welcome to Devon Dies the Podcast, episode 58. This episode is called Just a Quick One Tonight, and is brought to you by our sponsors, Meeple's Corner, and was recorded on the 4th of September, 2018. On tonight's show, we will be, well, I will be, not talking about much. Yes, it's just me, your host, Joel Wright, joining us tonight. And no Sam and no Lewis, so it's going to be a quiet one. And yes, dear listeners, I am just really recording this to put one out. I've missed the first Monday of the month due to not realising it was coming up so quickly and no preparation. So I do apologise, this is kind of making up for it. Lewis and Sam kind of were available to join it, but due to schools going back, I'm going back to work and things like that, just things got in the way. Life is a bit of a struggle sometimes. So I am here now just to fill your ears for hopefully about 15 minutes. So you've got something to listen to. And then hopefully we will be returning for the third Monday of the month with another top three games. Hopefully maybe what you've chose for us. So yes, dear listeners, if you would like to hear a top three category chosen by you, the listener, then please send us a message in some form via social media or the internet, which is social media, via the email, which you can find on the blog site. So what am I going to talk to you about tonight? Well, I thought I'd discuss the trip I made to board the board game cafe in Exeter with the family. So it's a rainy, horrible day in the summer holidays. One of those few rainy days we did have, and we were trying to figure out what we were going to do that day. There was a few items we needed to get from a certain city because of schools going back. So we thought we'd collide the two together and go to Exeter and get the stuff we needed to get and then trundle off the board and play a few games and eat some food and have a good night, a good family afternoon out. And so we did. And what do we play? We played quite a few games, actually. I think we actually started off with a quick game of, it's not very quick, actually, a game of Rush and Bash, Bash and Rush. Should have brought my phone down. I did bring my phone down. It's right here. That's went on a very long time. A bit better. Sorry, I just... I had a 122-hour game of Rococo still playing in the background of my board game stats app. But anyway, I'm here. Right, so... Rush and Bash. Yes, Rush and Bash we played first. If you don't know what Russian Bash is, it's a racing game. It actually emulates Mario Kart pretty well, actually. And this is not my first time. This is my second time playing it. I played it a few years ago with Sam, and I thought it was all right. But I played it this time because, well, I thought it suited the family quite well. And at first, it started off a bit like, well, someone was running away with the lead. But then... just as my son's getting to the finish line, I unleashed my mega weapon, which basically took two damage off everyone in front of me, which was everyone, and two people blew up and had to come all the way back to the checkpoint. So that really upset my son, Isaac. He had a bit of a paddy and he's not taking losing very well at the minute. And then it just kind of felt like we were doing that quite a lot. Someone was unleashing... weapons and blowing someone up and pulling them back, and they were going forward and then they were getting blown up and being pulled back, and the final last leg just turned into a kind of yo-yo session between different race leaders, and eventually I came over the line and won, much to dismay again to Isaac, who was not taking losing very well, which I've already said, but yes, he wasn't taking losing very well. So we played that, and actually the wife quite enjoyed it and commented maybe this is a game we should get in for the kids. I'm actually quite considering it, actually, this second time playthrough. was actually quite fun, and I wouldn't actually mind playing some of the other tracks that's going on in it. Next up, we actually grabbed two games off the shelf. We grabbed Dobble and Geister Blitz. So we played Dobble first, and I think it's also named Spot It. But I've seen Dobble around quite a bit, and it's now actually kind of produced by Astevian Games, which is now Asmodee UK. And basically, Dobble is kind of like a snap game where your a card will be in the center table, and there's actually different variants how you play. And I think we were playing one where there's a stack of cards in the middle, and each person had one card. And if you could find a image, which is about eight images on each card that will kind of match maybe images on the card that's in front of you, then you can take that card, and whoever's got the most cards at the end of the game wins. Then you can play it the other way around, where you're trying to put your own stack of cards, and you're trying to put that many cards back into the center of the table. And that actually went off pretty well. The kids actually said they really liked it, and it was a possible Christmas present for them. And when Christmas comes around, yes, Christmas is actually quite soon, actually. So yes, that was a quite big hit. They actually wanted to play more and more, and we said, no, let's play something different anyway. You don't want to overplay this because you're getting it for Christmas. So we did move on to Geister Blitz. Now, this is a game I've heard so much about, and I wanted just to play it, to experience it. And this is kind of similar to Dobble, where you are... there's a deck of cards. There's five or six objects. I can't remember. But each object is very unique. Like, there's a barrel, which is blue, I believe. There's a ghost, which is white. There's a mouse that's grey. There's a red magical hat that's red. And there's a blue item, I believe. No, barrel's blue. There's a green item. I can't remember what that is. And got these items in the middle. You cover one of the items up with the red hat, and you draw reveal the top card of the deck. And if the right item of the right color is on that card, then you try and grab that item, which doesn't seem hard because there's only five, six items. I really can't remember, but there's only five or six items. Let me have a look at this. So I actually played Geister Blitz Spooky Doo, which is a different variant, I think, of it. So there is five items only: a white ghost, a grey mouse, a green bottle, a blue barrel, and a red hat. And you cover up one of these items with the red hat. They all fit nicely underneath this red hat. And you basically draw a card up. If it shows the actual correct one, it'll be two of the items on there, but one of them might be the right colour. If it's the right colour for the right item, then you grab that item from the centre of the table and you take the card as a point. If you take the wrong item, you grab the wrong thing, you have to give one of your cards away to the opponent that does collect the right item. Kind of straightforward. Gets a little bit confusing when cards depict two items, but both in the wrong colour. So then you have to grab the item in the middle of the table that is not shown in the card, and its colour's not on the card either. That starts melting the brain a bit, and that became a bit difficult, and it even got the kids. I thought the kids would pick it up quite quickly. They were kind of struggling to really think around that concept. And not only that, I did say one of the items was being covered up by the red hat, which if it is, and you know it's the right one underneath there, then you don't grab the red hat because that would be wrong. You actually have to say it's the green bottle or it's the blue barrel kind of thing. And if you're correct, then again, you still get the card. So there's three things you've got to try and remember. It's either it's on the card of the right colour, it's not on the card, and its colour's not on the card, so you've got to think which one's the odd one out. And then if you've got to think, actually, it's being covered up, so I don't grab anything, I call out. It kind of melted the brain a bit. We played it a couple of times and still never got any better with it. It was still kind of... still taxed people a bit, but actually I quite enjoyed it and I would play it again quite happily if given the chance. So we moved on from that and we had a bit of a dilemma of what game we were going to play next. We actually did have some food in between, and actually the food was really nice. I think before maybe I commented on boards when they was a pop-up shop many years ago now, that the food they were producing was a bit blah and was like some kind of student kitchen. The food has gone right up market and it was actually really nice. Very, very naughty, but very nice. We actually just sat there eating food, not playing anything, because actually what we had was quite messy. So we just thought, let's not play anything for a minute. Just enjoy the moment of eating food. So we did that. Why having Enchanted Tower set sat next to us? I did pick up another game that I really wanted to play and I thought it'd be fine with the family. But there was a bit of a commotion between Isaac and me. And Isaac didn't want to play games that we already got and already had and already played. And the rule was we had to play new stuff, really, because what's the point of coming to this place if we're just going to play stuff we've already got on the shelf, which could have saved us a lot of money. So he was struggling with that and he just had ideas that he wanted to play certain games and we were saying no, as good parents, good understanding parents do. And so in the end, he actually said, oh, I want to play Enchanted Tower because it's from the same people that made Magical Labyrinth and probably another game I've got that's not sitting with me at the minute. But Enchanted Tower is actually a very clever concept. It's got this pop-up, kind of pop-up pirate mechanic where you're trying to find a key in this forest location and then you're trying to insert this key into a plastic castle that's hexagon shaped, that has several slots around it, and if you get it in the right slots the princess pops out and you have won the game. Your trouble is it's a kind of a one versus all kind of game. One person is a sorcerer, he's the one that's hidden the key. And you are these trusted robins, they're called, that are kind of princes, trying to walk around this forest and find this key that's been hidden under a tile. Now, the game uses the bottom of the box and the insert on the bottom of the box. It has little divots in it where you can put the key. Then there's a layer that goes over the top of it and then little tiles cover each hole. So actually your little character pawn has a magnet on the bottom of it. And as you go over these tiles, you'll hear a clink as the key jumps up and hits the bottom of the tile. And you know you found the key, which is actually quite cool. It's quite tactile. It's making the kids listen and be quiet for a minute, see what happens. All the while you're trying to find the key, you don't know where it is. The sorcerer knows where it is. He actually starts further back on the track and has to move quite quickly. There's two dice to roll. One is rolled by the sorcerer. That depicts who goes first. Either he does or you do. And you roll the other dice and it's got two numbers on it. One for the sorcerer, one for the robins. And it depicts how many spaces they move. And that's a really simple concept. But you do get choices of where you move about and you're trying to deduct where the key can be, because if you get it in the wrong slot, or even the sorcerer gets it in the wrong slot because he doesn't actually know which one will trigger it, he just knows where the key is, you actually have to close your eyes again and the sorcerer has to rehide the key and it can't be hidden in the same place. So you kind of can deduct a little bit, like possibly where he might have hid it. Does he go near the same place again, or does he go to the opposite end? Actually, it was quite fun. There was a moment where the sorcerer found the key straight away. Well, because he knew where it was, and with first try, popped the princess out. And so then we actually all played around each of being the sorcerer. And I think it's actually quite even, actually, two and two. So yeah, it's actually quite a good game. And last of all, we finished off with my game that I actually been wanting to play, and it's been on my list to like knock off and say I've played it, and that was Marrakesh. Now, Marrakesh is a game that's got lots of little bits of fabric in it and nice wooden pieces. You have this board, a grid board, a square grid board, 10 by 10 possibly, and you place this little salesman on it. He faces in a certain direction, right in the middle, and then each player gets a certain number of bits of cloth. These are rugs, and 15 coins each. Now, on a player's turn, they can turn this salesman, or it was called something else, but I really can't remember what it's called now, but it's some kind of rug expert, and you can turn him 90 degrees. Then you roll a dice. It depicts how far he moves, 1 to 4 spaces, and then he stops. After that, you can lay a rug next to his square. These rugs cover up to 2 squares. You can lay on empty squares. You can lay on another half of a rug and an empty square, and you can lay over 2 different halves of rugs. So you actually are trying to cover up your opponent's rugs, because there's a bit of scoring going. If this salesman moves and lands on your rug, you score a coin from the person that landed on your rug. So whoever moved the salesman and he lands on someone else's rug, you actually have to pay that person's for the rug how many squares adjacent all their rugs are. So if they got like 3 rugs together, all side by side, half by half, whatever, then you're going to score about 6 coins from that person. And so your money moves backwards and forwards, round and round. And it actually, as we were playing it, I actually started seeing there's could be a lot to this. This could be quite strategic kind of thing. You want to place the rug in front of the salesman or in a direction to make him go another way, maybe to force him onto your rug, to corner him. I quite enjoyed it for the thinking, intelligent side of it. I think it was a little bit too late for the kids to be playing it, but it was really simple. They kind of got it. I kind of ran away with the scoring, because at the end of the game, you score for how many parts of your rugs are showing on the board, 1 point, and you get another point for any coins you get. So, I could play that game again quite easy, quite fun. And to be honest, that was it for my day at board. It was a great afternoon. I really enjoyed it. 6 games we played, was it 5? All 5 or 6 games we played, all knocked off of a list that I've wanted to play. Give the kids some experience of playing new one. It was a great way of actually just making Caitlin play some games, because she's in that age at the minute where she hates everything, even me most of the time. And so, because she was in that situation, she had to join in, and she enjoyed it. Well, as I said, half of the games they wanted to buy and bring back, as well as me and the wife had a good time. We ate, we had fun. Games are in pretty good condition for a board game cafe. There was an issue with the double rules, because they laminated it all and the rules were put back in the wrong order, which kind of confused us when we were reading the rules, and I was like, hey, this don't make sense. And then I kind of figured out, it's kind of in the wrong place. So once we found the right page we were looking for, it all made sense. We told them about that and they said they'll sort it out. It was pricey for the afternoon. I mean, really, it cost us about 70 quid for like 4 or 5 hours, and that includes food and drink and playing time out there. So it's a bit of a pricey afternoon, but we had fun. I think that's where we come away from it. It was a good, fun afternoon. We enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. It's playing games. I got to play games with the family all afternoon. Got to play games with Claire, which is very difficult to happen at the minute. That was it. That's all I was going to talk to you about. What are we up to? How well did I do? Yeah, 20 minutes. So that's 20 minutes of me jabbering on. I just like to say, our sponsor, Meeple's Corner, has got a ton of pre-orders going up on site. He's going to bankrupt me one day. But, you can go and check it out. September is full. There's four pages of pre-orders. I don't believe all of them are coming out in September, but he can only get certain information at a time. Discovery Lands Unknown is there for you to pre-order. The River, the new game from Days of Wonder, is on there for you to pre-order. And lots and lots of other games and expansions. And we did post our what we're looking for on the horizon post about what we really looking forward to coming out this month in September. So check that out. See what we're after this month. And that's it for me. I will quickly sign out when I find my page. And thank you for listening, tune in for our next podcast, which will be another top three games. Remember, send us in our suggestions. You can do that via social media sites and the blog page. Check out the show notes for details where you can get the links for that. And big thank you to Meeple's Corner for sponsoring the show. My name has been Joel Wright, host and editor of the show. And you can find me at Depressed Monkey and Devon Dice UK on Twitter. You can also find Sam at Spoon and Milk and Lewis at The Brewery Tour. And this has been another excellent Devon Dice podcast. And remember, it is your turn. Please send in a top three suggestion. Thank you very much. I'm out.